Well, Brother Jerry has selected for his topic Lessons of Life. Brother Jerry.
First of all, I want to thank those who had shared the melody, the opening of this lesson. We thought that being our guide is a very important, essential for our lives. I also want to, especially before we begin, bring greetings from Portland, Oregon, all the brethren there, and you know many of them. But we have a custom in Portland to select a text of greetings for each month, and the brethren have each a chance to prepare that text. Well, for the month of December, it was Sister Wanda Jay's choice. And you know Sister Wanda very well, and she chose Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Very much like Sister Wanda, if you know her. Lessons of life. The day is drawing to a close, dear brethren. The year is drawing to a close. It is time for some quiet reflections and not overload our mind and body. It is time to put our lives into perspective. Time is of the essence. It is shorter than we think. Our life passes faster than we perceive. What we do today is tomorrow's memories. Give time, enough time to heal and change us and make us a little wiser. What will we do with the days and moments of our lives? How will time and experience change us? The transformation of the new creation does not occur in a moment, but it must proceed toward its glorious prospect. Let us look toward the future with the eye on the now. Learn from the past, but don't dwell in the past. The past has made us for today, the now, the present. But to live in and to fantasize the past is never to create a future with its changes and its possibilities, with the necessary transforming and renewing. Dear brethren, what will the future hold? Because society does not know, they are desperate to recover the past, or at least preserve the present before falling over the abyss into the unknown. We follow a different drummer, a different message, a different calling. So, dear brethren, if you want to know the future, follow the light. We will have a few poem readings tonight. And first of all, I'd like to have Bailey Allen read a poem entitled Lead On, O King Eternal. And I think there should be a microphone. And Bailey, where are you? Here. And we take a microphone to Bailey, and she will read Lead On, O King Eternal.
Lead on, O King Eternal. The day of march has come. Hence in fields of conquest, thy tents shall be our homes. Through days of preparation, thy grace has made us strong. And now, O King Eternal, we lift our battle song. Lead on, O King Eternal, till sin's fierce wars shall cease, and holiness shall whisper the sweet Amen of peace. For not with swords loud clashing, nor roll of stirring drums, but deeds of love and mercy, thy heavenly kingdom comes. Lead on, O King Eternal, we follow not with fear, for gladness breaks like morning where thy face appears. The cross is lifted over us, we journey in its light. The crown awaits the conquest. Lead on, O God of might.
We want to proceed with some lessons of affliction. You know, tribulations, sufferings, grief, and losses are never entirely forgotten. Nevertheless, affliction should not paralyze us or make us bitter. It should make us better. You know the difference in the words of bitter and better is the single letter E in better, otherwise the I in bitter. And it is always the I that always stands as an obstacle in our path. Nevertheless, troubles can shape us for greater endurance, greater courage and perseverance, patience, faith, and hope. It is not how many troubles we have, but how we use them as stepping stones. Afflictions can make us stronger, just as the Jewish suffering has prepared them to be stronger and wiser for God's plan. Character is built with tribulation. Helen Keller, without sight or hearing, found a way to teach others and fulfill her dreams. Affliction makes us stronger, but only if we persevere. Winston Churchill had a compelling speech just after a blitz on London in 1941. He said, "Never give in, never give in, never, 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 in nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in, except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming mighty of the enemy." And now we have a Christian mission with the same message to never give up. We'd like to have Sister Donna Whitaker read a poem, "Never Give Up." It was written by Sister Rosemary Wojcik.
Never give up. Press on, my soul. Climb higher still. The night is dark, the wind with chill. That wily foe, the chief one of all, is on our heels and wishes us to fall. Never give up. Why be cast down? We have proved his care. When things seem hardest, Jesus is there. There is none to compare in all this earth than the care of our Lord. O ye of little worth, never give up. He has promised to never leave our side, to be there with help, whatever betide. It's the new life in Christ that this promise applies, not to our flesh, which we have crucified. Never give up. Our patience is tried every day, every hour, but leaning on Him, we feel that power. The hardest trial is patient endurance, but even in this, He sends blessed assurance. Never give up. In desperate earnest, we climb higher each day. He smooths out the bumps on this narrow way. When claiming the promises, the strength fills our life. Our spirit revives in the midst of our strife. Never give up. Diamonds are we. In the rough, it is true, but he presses harder on me and you. But if uncompromising, devoted, and loyal, we shall reign as his bride, with our bridegroom royal. Never give up.
Never give up. We would now like to consider some lessons of life regarding our relationships. You know, the human race are social creatures. And maybe we learned it better as children than we do as adults. But so are the brethren, social creatures, a community of faith. Yet problems arise if we expect to convince the whole community, or if we depend on social affirmation and renounce our personal accountability. The danger is to feel valid only when the group approves you. This is approbative to the extent of losing fidelity to our singular head. We are not defined by what other people think of us, but only by how our Lord thinks of us. Otherwise, we tend to pull others around our center and circle of wants, wishes, or needs. This is the ancient struggle of egoism versus altruism. It is sort of like papacy versus Galileo. Who is the center of this universe? Is it you? Is it the church? Does the sun turn around us? You know, narcissism is to think the world turns around me. The truth is that none of us are in the center. And there is great danger of pride in the middle. Napoleon's arrogance inevitably met his own Waterloo. People on a pedestal soon fall, and it can be short and swift. We are all but servants, and sometimes unprofitable ones at best. Brethren, there's another lesson for our brief lives here. It is the lesson of jealousy, anger, and blame, and vengeance. I could not resist this next picture. Life is too short to live with indignance and conceit. If we began our youth with spite, it is only with great effort and humility that we can ever rid ourselves of it. Be quick to confess our faults. Apologize readily. And brethren, don't compare yourselves and your life with others, or think ourselves better or worse, or to envy them. Do not wish you were in their shoes or where they are. Grow where you are planted, with the soil that is under your own feet. And you have to do your own growing, no matter how tall your father was. Brethren, we really have little idea of the journey of others and their struggles and their experiences. Maybe you know some of these faces. But only they know what gave them the strength and the courage to endure things that most of us have never seen. The truth is, life is not so much about me. It is about you. It is about others. Not about being served, but serving. And that with hands of affliction that can also embrace beauty. It is our business to be ethical, compassionate, loyal, truthful, and reliable. To feel the need of the poor and the needy. It is our part of the sin offering. And to bear one another's burdens. But don't ask, why about me? What about me? You are here to help others. And if faithful, that will be your work in the future. And now we would like to turn to another lesson of life. We've talked about relationships in the community. I'd like to talk about a lesson of solitude, of quietness. Now, while surrounded with people, there is an importance in being alone and in quietness sometimes, at least for a while. Some things can only be pursued with solitary intensity. We need to be alone to answer the question, what is my purpose today? Alone we can answer the question, what were my blessings today? And only you can answer them for sure. And so we ask that you sit at least 10 minutes alone to pray, to read something inspirational, to understand your own reason for walking in Jesus' footsteps and your purpose in this world. Courage and conviction are largely built in solitude. In this, we would like to have a reading called Alone. By Colleen Stewart, we'll read this, Alone. The author is unknown, but the meaning is profound.
It is human to stand with the crowd. It is divine to stand alone. It is manlike to follow people, to drift with the tide. It is godlike to follow a principle, to stem the tide. It is natural to compromise conscience and follow social and religious fashions for the sake of gain or pleasure. It is divine to sacrifice both on the altar of truth and duty. No man stood with me, but all men forsook me, wrote the battle-scarred apostle in describing his first appearance before Nero to answer for his life, for believing and teaching contrary to the Roman world. Noah built and voyaged alone. His neighbors laughed at his strangeness, but perished in style. Abraham wandered and worshipped alone. The Sodomites smiled at the simple shepherd, followed the fashion and fed the flames. Daniel dined and prayed alone. Elijah sacrificed and witnessed alone. Jeremiah prophesied and wept alone. Jesus loved and died alone. And of the lonely way his disciples should walk, Jesus said, "Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Of their treatment of the many who walked in the broad way, he said, "If ye were of the world would love its own. But you are not of the world, therefore the world hateth you." Israel in the wilderness praised Abraham and persecuted Moses. Israel and the kings praised Moses and persecuted the prophets. The synagogue under Caiaphas praised the prophets and persecuted Jesus. The church of the popes praised the Savior and persecuted the saints. The multitudes now, both in the church and the world, applaud the courage and fortitude of the patriarchs and prophets and apostles and martyrs, but condemn as stubbornness or foolishness like faithfulness to truth today.
There is so much to learn in quietness and solitude, and not to base our validity upon the approval of others. We would like to now proceed to a lesson on contentment. Brethren, we live in a world that measures peace and success with material definitions. Your house, your car, your clothes, your computer, your credentials. But these are neither the essential nor eternal values. In fact, those things bring further quests for more illusions. And it is so that the more things people acquire, the more troubled they become. Eventually, their emptiness brings a hunger for food and drink and truth that will never leave us hungry or thirsty again. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And brethren, if we have food and clothing, maybe it's enough. Take time to count your blessings and forget your sorrows. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. We will now have a piece played for us. Brother Derek, if you could play The Shelter of the Love of God, adapted from Psalms 91, The Shelter of His Wings.
Trust in you.
shelter we have, dear brethren. What is the prospect? What is the hope of the future? The prospect that is so transporting. Mankind will soon return to Eden's dominion of earth and the water of life. But the prospect for the bride of Christ is something different. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. It will be an internal inheritance, an eternal inheritance that fadeth not away. We'd like to ask Sister Barbara Jesuit to read a poem, God's Inheritance, is found on reprint 5007. God's Inheritance, Sister Barbara.
And can it be that God designs with you and me forevermore to dwell? Can his great might secure for us the right to be his Israel? A people chosen to proclaim his worth, to sound the praises of his glory forth, to lead the van of an adoring earth. This poor, weak clay can he transform in such a way that it shall yield divinity? This sin-stained mind so cleanse he, that he in us shall find affinity, though abode of his eternal rest, that habitation shall, which he loveth best, his chosen Zion, city ever blessed. If this be so, not all the wealth this world can know will me suffice, nor name, nor fame, nor power, nor pleasure here below my soul entice. How poor these transitory things of earth beside this treasure of unending worth, this heavenly fellowship, this royal birth. And can it be that down throughout succeeding ages he with ardent longing waits, though fate, though eventful day, when sin, all purged away, will sit within his gates? Can we be subjects of our God's desire? Doth he our longing fellowship require? And to this height may such as we aspire? How good to know his never-failing word proclaims it so. Here, Lord, I give myself to thee. Work out thy gracious purposes in me, until in heaven thy blessed face I see, and dwell with thee through all eternity.
Thank you, Sister Barbara. This is the prospect, dear friends. Yes, the prospect is so transporting. Teach us, Lord, it's worth to know the prospect of healing the breach of 6,000 years. Think about it. Feel it. Live it. Let it move your life daily. Of turning the eyes of mankind back to the heavens, and to our Creator. And to this we say, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. May the Lord bless your evening, your rest, and the year ahead. May the Lord add his blessing.